From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The war in Syria has claimed hundreds of thousands of lives and continues to today with near daily headlines of dozens killed in attacks. Now a new documentary paints a horrifying and moving portrait of what it's like to live through the Syrian war. Told via a first-person account of a woman whose life and perspective changes when she has a little baby girl, the film For Sama chronicles the heartbreaking dilemma facing a mother, an activist, and a filmmaker. I'm joined now by the subjects and filmmakers of the documentary For Sama, Dr. Hamza Al-Khatib, Waad Al-Khatib, and Edward Watts. Waad Al-Khatib and Edward Watts are the directors of the documentary. Waad is the subject of the film as well, and Dr. Hamza Al-Khatib, who happens to be Waad's husband and the father of Sama, is one of the subjects and also a producer in the film. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Waad, let me start with you. The story is told through your eyes, told through your words, and it's incredibly powerful and moving. I should mention it's opening July 26th. Did you start out wanting to make a documentary when you were filming the scenes in the film? Did you start out wanting to make a documentary that ended up this way, through the birth of your daughter as the beginning of a story?
Actually, when I started, I had no idea about what I will do with this footage, especially that I had no idea also that I would be survive. Everything I was documenting that a full life of people who living through this experience. And I thought just I will be like one of the people who will be like dead. So I was just trying to record everything around. So hoping that one day someone outside will take this footage and do a film with this. And the shock was when we were survived and we went out, and I had that responsibility about this. Everything I filmed, it should be something like provided to other people to see this experience and go through this life.
So your film opens with this terrifying scene in a hospital in Aleppo where you're, with your baby girl, and we see the girl, we see her, we see footage of her. It cuts to a terrifying bombing and the lights go out and there's chaos and there's confusion and you're searching for your daughter. And there's, a couple of minutes where it's not clear if you'll find her, but there she is. How was that scene symbolic of the dilemma you faced?
Actually, it was 4 minutes of normal life in Aleppo in 2016. And unfortunately, the same life in 2017 in another place called Ghouta in Syria. And unfortunately, the same 4 minutes exactly, that's what happened today and happening through the last year in Idlib, the last place out of the regime control. I can't think about what we've went through and what happened without thinking about the other mothers at the same minute now. Today, more than 20 people were being killed in Idlib. And, just normal life in Syria, this is what people now facing every day, and it's still happening.
Edward, tell me the role that you played in this film. You are one of the directors of the documentary. What was your role in shaping this film?
Well, I got together, I was introduced to Waad just after she'd left Aleppo, when everyone realized that she had this extraordinary huge archive, over 500 hours of material from the horrific to the beautiful and intimate. And it was my job really to team up with her, to work with her and collaborate very closely in a way to distill this huge archive into a film, a containable film, a film that would work for both of our key audiences, to do justice to these guys' story, to reflect the truth of what they'd experienced and what their friends had gone through in Aleppo, but also to turn it into a form that could engage an audience, a Western audience, that could bring people, coming off the streets of LA or San Francisco from the sunshine, and that they could sit in a theater for 95 minutes and go through something very tough but still feel it, connect with it emotionally, and be able to take it really and go on this journey with Wad and Hamza. So that's what we were working on together for 2 years.
So let me bring Dr. Hamza Al-Khatib into the conversation. Tell me how you and Wad met, because that's part of the story of the Syrian resistance to the regime of Bashar al-Assad. It's part of the story of that's told in the documentary that frames this dilemma of your fear for your child's safety.
I remember like the first time I saw Wad was at the university protests, that we knew each other's faces, but we never knew our names and our real names. Because like, you see like the same faces are protesting in several places. So you become like familiar with the other, that you are risking your life in order to protest. And then after the east part of Aleppo was announced a non-government controlled area, I moved there to do my role as an activist and as a doctor, because I know that the regime will shell this area. And after a while, Wad also moved there to also do her part at the Syrian revolution. And that's when we met and become like close friends. And then our friendship, evolved.
Blossomed.
To the next level.
Of course, in the middle of war, life continues, right? People meet and fall in love and get married and have children, even when there's a war going on. And that's told beautifully.
Exactly. The thing that like maybe... even like not only Western like audience, but also Arab or even Syrian who hasn't lived this moment, they were like, how come you get married? Or how come you have children in the middle of this? But like, it's a 5 years of people's life. This is home for us and for the 1.5 million people who were living in East Aleppo. They were not just like flee out of the city because of the regime attacks. So exactly like, as you said, like life just goes on, evolved, and we got married, and then we had our first daughter, then second one. And yeah.
Wad, I want to ask you about the thought process in your head that you capture on film when Sama is born. So she's born on New Year's Day of 2016. And anybody who's been a mother, of course, and even to an extent a father and parents, when you first become a parent, suddenly everything is in a different perspective. You get a different perspective on life, and things that you were never scared of, you become scared of, whether or not you live in a war zone. So I'm wondering if you can take us through your thought process of what went through your mind and all your fears, and also hopes and joys when Sama was born.
I was trying to live my life normal as much as I can. And it was also mixed between the life of journalists, female journalists who are trying to document this moment, and same time, normal mom as any mom around the world who has her first child and want just to feel that moment. I can't really describe the fears that was through the whole minutes, which I think every mom have that feeling about how I can protect my child, how I can provide her with the perfect life that she really deserves, and same time how I can really feel that happiness and challenging all my difficulties as a first young mom also, but the same time the big things that it was like living with us both and concern us all the time about how we can still belong to the place where we decided to be as in the east part of Aleppo, how we can really raise her up with a lot of principles and very honestly about what life should be. It's not just about like provide her with food or a lot of things which is just basic life, but also about how we can give her all the attention and the principles that we believe in. And that's what we faced when we've seen a lot of other families in the city like Salem and Afra and their kids, how you really need to protect your kids, but at the same time you want to stay belong to the place where you are in. It's very difficult, very, I don't know how to explain this, but it's more than just safety. It's more than just about today or about yesterday. It's more about the future that we all want when we will pass away, how these children will live through this world with full of like freedom and justice and dignity, how we just want them to be as normal children as we can.
Right. It's the idea that Afra has said at the film that what example are you going to provide to your children? Are just like the example that you should only care about yourself and care about your safety and just like mind your own business and try to get the best of life? Or no, you should care for others. And this is the thing that we have never thought about before. Like, it's not only, as Duat said, about the basics of life, but also what example are we going to model for Sama and Tayma and the other children?
People who lives out of these circumstances, and maybe we, if we were out or before even living that through this experience, we thought that really when we will care about what's going on, it will be more, everything concerns, it's about death, about how we can just be safe. But you know, when you live through these circumstances, when you've seen other families, when you've seen the huge amount of death around you, you will be more care about the life that you will live it after what will going on. We knew that this life will not stand forever. And after this, what can we provide our children with? How we really need them to be in the future.
Right. The film For Sama is what we are discussing. It has won a number of very significant awards, including Best Documentary at the 2019 Cannes Film Festival and Grand Jury Award for Best Documentary at the South by Southwest Film Festival. It will be in theaters this week across the country, New York City, July 21st, and Los Angeles. There will be a theatrical opening July 26th. As well as in San Francisco and a number of other places. There's a website, forsamafilm.com, where people can get more information about screenings. So the documentary is in a way, sort of a love letter, right, from mother to child. That's how the narrative has been written. And Edward, I'm wondering if you can explain that choice, because if you had 500 hours of footage to wade through, you have to sort of pick a thread to focus on. And some have said that this is the first film about the Syrian war from a woman's perspective.
I mean, there were so many, I think when we were looking at the archive at the beginning, there were so many different stories that we had to work through. The story of Wad and Hamza, obviously, but the story of the city, the story of the hospital. And, you know, part of the process why we worked on it for so long was to find that right device or framing angle in order to make sense of it, but also to really bring out the core human dilemmas and the core emotional heart of the film. And it was a strange thing, really, that we were sitting together and just about two-thirds of the way through this very long process, and it was almost just like a flash out of the blue that we were sitting there. And in the raw footage, you really felt this connection all the time between Wad and Sama. And you just suddenly, it was almost like I turned to Wad and like, yeah, like this film is for Sama. And she was like, yeah, it's for Sama. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but let's make it all for Sama. And we discussed that and got very excited about it. And then we knew we were onto something when we told Hamza, and he was quite moved as well. And so, and that really unlocked everything, because suddenly it did allow you to go, as you've talked about, deep into this horrendous dilemma, as both of you have talked about how do you protect your children while also fighting for their future, and to really get into the deep and personal heart of what this story was all about, which I think is what is connecting with audiences so well.
Yeah, and through the process of filming the film, I was really trying to lead the story in one moment about small, let's say, stories of the city, of the people around me, but same time what was happening every day was leading me around and let me follow this strange life. And at the end of that, all of that, no one can really realize what the story will be. So it really took us more than 2 years to just understand. Even for me, who lived the story and filmed everything, I really needed that time to understand from outside how I can really see my story and how I want really to present and speak very honestly, even if some things was really like bad for me to say that or speak out, but it was really the truth of a mouth of a mother or a female filmmaker from inside the city.
The one of the things that jumped out at me from watching the film was that your relationship to what you were going through with your daughter and seeing in within this frame of war, it was probably being replayed, you know, hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of times over across the country, right? I mean, Sama is alive and well and thriving, and yet so many babies like her have died, have been killed, have had their lives cut short. And that to me was just a really a powerful reminder of all of the potential lives that this war has just snuffed out.
Actually, what makes me powerful enough or have that strength enough to film that moment, that I was pretty sure that we will not be survive. The fact that I knew that one day I will see like Sama instead of that child. And the fact that I really, like, not just hope, but I pray every day to be me before I've seen her. It's really very bad and very like, when I speak that out, I know that this is something really hard for anyone to feel that emotion, but it's true not just for me as a filmmaker, but for like circumstances and her and you know, just something maybe we don't want to speak out because it's very bad, but this happened. It's the same idea of the mean of the film. Why we show up all these footage and these things. It's very difficult, I know, but it's very important. All people, all parents, even if that's very hard for them, but they should know that this is happening. The solution if that, it's not just to close our eyes and don't look about what's going on. No, but in our eyes and really try to make difference in these people's life.
I'd like to go back to Hamza Al-Khatib. You're a doctor and you were working as a doctor in the middle of this incredibly dangerous war zone. And what can you tell us about the impunity of the regime, of the Syrian regime, in just bombing hospitals? You know, must have witnessed some pretty severe horrors.
Yeah, actually being a hospital manager has its own challenge in providing the medical supplies, managing the staff. That's common in any country. But all over that, the limited sources we had, and in addition, or to top that up with everything, we know that we are the main target of the Syrian regime and the Russian. And I really can't think of a hospital in Aleppo, when we were in Aleppo, or even outside Aleppo, that I've heard about or seen or passed by that hasn't been shelled through the past 6 years. It's not just a coincidence that all the medical facilities in the non-government controlled area are being bombed by aircrafts. And it's... The most frustrating thing when we had to, for example, when I'm telling a patient that I need to admit you at the hospital for hospitalization for 5 days, and he was saying oh, doctor, can you just give me the medication and I will arrange with a nurse to give me the medication, even the IV fluids home, because you might be bombed at any moment, so I don't want to be there. Wow. It was very strange thing, we have to stay at the hospital because it's the only point that the civilians and the casualties will come to. But at the main time, that in any moment we will be bombed, and the patients and the injuries knew that. And it was just weird because the human reaction will be just to move to a safer place. But that wasn't an option.
It goes on to this day, right? I mean, there was
exactly in the past 3 months only, more than 26 health facilities were targeted by the Syrian regime and the Russian only in the past 3 months. and several of them were just completely out of service and completely destroyed. Just like the tactics of the Syrian regime and the Russian is to make it like impossible to live in an ungovernment controlled area. So they are like deliberately targeting hospitals, bakeries, schools, and like, so it's to make it like impossible for people to live there.
Finally, I'd like to ask all three of you what you envision this film accomplishing. You know, it's in today's day and age, we can have such a film because of technology. We can have an inside look at the worst moments of a war in a way that we didn't really have that much access to decades ago. I mean, we had sort of photographic access, but not video evidence and video footage. So it just offers a way to allow people to live through the eyes of people who are going through this horrendous and seemingly never-ending war. Would you like to see this film being used as a tool to not just educate, but actually actively find ways to end this war?
Yeah, actually, one of the most things that we're trying to do in the Our Impact campaign, like after the film now release, is to have more of accountability for the regime and for what's happening in Aleppo City and what's still happening now in Idlib. One of the most important things is to change the narrative, shift the narrative of what's going on. You've seen in the film, we are, as Hamzami and the other people in the film, we are not terrorists, we are not victims, we are not heroes, we are just normal people trying to live in their country safely and trying to do their job and their rules as just normal human being.
I think like there are so many things. I hope the film will be able to do, like, on maybe in the short term, like stop bombing hospitals in Idlib and also all other places in Yemen, in Afghanistan, so many other places in the world. Maybe save like stop the threats of the Syrian regime to the civilians in Idlib. There are more than 3 million people living in this area. In the longer term, I hope that to be like some accountability to the war crimes that happened in East Aleppo, change the narrative that and the propaganda that the Syrian regime and the Russian were always like focusing on through all like the previous 3 years about like everything that is related to Syria is about ISIS and terrorists, and not focusing about the uprising that started on 2011 and the civilians that want to live a democratic dignity life in Syria. Change the narrative for about the refugees. We are ourselves now refugees in the UK. And we're not just, as Zohad said, we're not terrorists. We are not like from like Islamic background or like, it's just like to know that behind each refugee, there is a story, there is pain that led them to become refugees. It's not just they happen to be refugees and they dreamt to live in Western countries. They were forced to be there.
Yeah, it wasn't our choice, really, to go out.
Mm. Yeah. Right. I mean, I would say, you know, there's two things. I think one of the things you alluded to, which I think is very exciting and hopefully will inspire people, is the collaboration that we've been able to do over the film. You know, the bringing together of the two perspectives, as it were, you know, it being your story and me being able to bring a sort of knowledge of how a Western audience comes to the story. Hopefully that will inspire more people around the world to feel empowered to tell their story. But also on a human level, what I really hope that people take away from this is understanding that, you know, just really connecting with our shared humanity, basically. You know, people in Syria, to an audience in the US, they may seem a long way away, the situation may seem very complicated, but we have this core humanity that we share, and we have a stake in what has happened to people in Syria. Just as like Hamza's talking about with the hospitals, you know, this idea that hospitals are no longer a sacred space in conflict, you know, that
affects us, because that is the value system that keeps us all safe. And so many of those values have been eroded in Syria because, as you said, the Assad regime and the Russians have been able to commit these crimes with impunity. And there are no easy answers, but I really hope that people feel inspired to say, this isn't happening to the other people beyond the wall. This is happening to us. And it's beholden on all of us to try and think of some way to solve it.
And the last thing, like, I can adjust, it's about the strength that we as women and as mothers has. It's just, you know, like, challenging all these circumstances. I am just one person, and I know, like, thousands of other mothers and women inside Syria and outside also, trying to do their best, not just to do their role, but even more than their roles in this life. Just something could encourage other people to try to do. And just facing all the world around us and trying to do what we dream of.
Well, I want to wish all three of you best of luck with the documentary. It's called For Sama, and it's opening in theaters around the country. And you can find out exactly where you can watch the film online at forsamafilm.com, for S-A-M-A film.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My guests have been Wad Al-Khatib, who is the director of the film For Sama and also the main subject of the film, her co-director of the film, Edward Watts, and her husband, Dr. Hamza Al-Khatib, who's also one of the subjects of the film and has produced the documentary. The film has won numerous awards and, again, is available in theaters around the country. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.